Hello, friends, and welcome to another episode of The Co-op Show. We are alive. We are a thing that exists on this planet. Sort of. I'm one of your hosts, Britt.
And I'm Jason.
And today we're talking about Halo 5.
Halo 5, but man, it's been a little bit. It's been, what do the kids say? It's been a hot minute. It's been like a lava minute.
A spicy minute. Yeah, we should just say hi, hello. It's been, I think our last episode was like August 29th, and it was about Pokemon Unite, I believe.
Wait, really?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, I still play it every day.
I know. See, that's a good thing.
It's my treadmill game.
Yeah, it is your treadmill game. I don't have a treadmill game right now.
It could be yours.
It could be mine, too. So, friends, we, as you may or may not know, I mean, if you're listening to this, I'm assuming you have been listening to The Co-op Show. We took a brief break.
Three months.
Our child is now 6 months old, and what we are learning about children as they get older, they demand much more attention, and they are no longer these little blob potatoes that like to just sleep and eat and poop. So it's cool to watch our kid become more sentient. However, what that does mean is that we just don't have time for gaming, let alone co-op gaming.
Yeah.
And getting on a schedule is a little rough, but I think right now we're in a pretty good place with his sleep schedule.
Yeah, we've crystallized the sleep schedule enough to the point where we've finally been able to play a game together.
Oh my God. We got to dabble in Far Cry 6 for a bit.
Yeah, it was...
a little, and then yeah. Have we played anything else besides Halo 5?
Dude.
I don't think so. So yeah, like we've been on the struggle bus when it comes to co-op games, but we did manage to play through Halo 5 like a week and a half ago. Mm-hmm. And it's perfect because I have been playing Halo Infinite and I can talk about my experience with that to an extent. I'll be spoiler free when it comes to Halo Infinite. But I think we do spoilers on Halo 5.
Yeah, I think it's been out long enough. I mean, wasn't it a 360 game?
It was a 2015 game.
Okay.
So yeah.
Six years, I think we're in the clear.
Yeah, so I think we spoil Halo 5. I will not spoil Halo Infinite because if I did that, I would get in some big legal trouble. but I can kind of talk a little bit about how Halo 5 has evolved into Halo Infinite. Anyway, we're back. We're going to do our best to keep doing weekly shows here.
Emphasis on do our best.
Our best.
No guarantees.
No guarantees, but we'll see how long
we're here.
We'll see how long we can keep this
hype
train going. So let's talk about Halo 5 Guardians. So this game released October 27th, 2015. It was a review copy back in the day, so I feel like I need to disclose that.
Wow.
I know, right? It's a first-person shooter rated T13, developed by 343 Industries, published by Microsoft Studios for Xbox. My understanding is that it is still not playable on PC. It supports up to 4 players in online co-op. It is on Game Pass. So if you are a subscriber to Game Pass, you can get it there. Or if you have the Master Chief. Actually, I don't know if it's on the Master Chief Collection. I don't think it is.
Wait, Halo 5?
Yeah, I don't think it is on
there. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, so the fun little story with Halo 5 is back in the day, in 2015, holy crap, I knew I was getting a review copy for Halo 5 Guardians. And I knew I would be able to get you a copy too. And because we've played the Halo games co-op, you know, only. It's only ever been a co-op game for me. And, like, I know you've played with your friends in the past. But for me and you, like, it's been a series you and I have always played together. So there was no way I was going to be able to review Halo 5 in 2015 without playing it with you.
Yep.
So you and I marathoned
the
Halo series in, like, a weekend?
The whole fucking series.
Yeah, so we did Halo Combat Evolved 2, 3. We skipped ODST. We did 4, and then 4. Was that it?
I think you're right.
Yeah. Halo, and we did we do Reach?
1, 2, 3. I don't know if we did Reach.
I think
we just did the Master Chief storyline.
Yeah.
Which didn't include Reach, I think.
Right. So we did that in anticipation of Halo 5 in 2015.
Yep.
And
by the way, I would highly recommend if you listen to this show, then you probably, I guess, do co-op games. Otherwise, I don't know what
it's
value.
It's just like the sound of our voices.
Well, hey. But yeah, if you like co-op games, all of the Halo games are co-op and just so enjoyable. Could possibly be the best co-op IP out there.
It's pretty phenomenal. Yeah. So going back, the reason I wanted to preface it with the fact that you and I marathon, because there's such a stark difference between Halo 1 through 4 to Halo 5.
Yeah.
And so I think that's important to point out. So for those of you who don't know, Halo 5 essentially takes place after Halo 4. It follows Fireteam Osiris and Blue Team. And I don't even know where to start with Halo 5 because when you and I played it for the first time and I reviewed it for my website, I remember being pretty unimpressed by it.
Yeah, it was
I think though replaying it with the proper expectations has kind of made me appreciate it for what it was.
I agree.
So let's just start, I guess, again. Spoilers for Halo 5. No spoilers for Infinite because I don't want to get sued. So with Halo 5, I think the most jarring thing for me, and let's just have a conversation. Let's just have an open conversation. No structure. Fuck structure.
Yeah.
This is a podcast. Who needs structure? Was especially going through Halo 1 through 4. You have Chief, who is he's a man of few words, right? Yep. A very stoic man. Cortana brings out this side of him, and I think she is the main driving force for Chief's evolution as a character.
Yeah.
Right? She brings out this side of him, and sometimes he even says, like, funny, quirky, snarky things. You're like, that was cute. You said that, you know?
Yep.
And watching their relationship evolve and deepen over the course of those games is, I think, for me, besides, like, the fun gameplay, obviously, one of the most satisfying things about Halo.
It almost becomes, like, almost, it starts to toe the line almost into a romance, at least from Cortana's side. Like, we're playing through Halo 4 right now, so I remember this, but at one point in Halo 4, Cortana is feeling emotional because she knows that she's experiencing rampancy, which means that she's, you know, she's essentially due to be decommissioned as an AI. But she tells Chief, she says, come on, John.
Don't make a promise. Don't make a girl a promise.
Don't make a girl. Yeah. And then she says, take a girl for one last ride. Do you remember that when they board the Pelican?
Right.
She's saying things to him in a way that feels almost like she knows she's going to die, and she's almost confessing her feelings for John, which is Master Chief.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
It's an interesting relationship that I'm sure people have written very many in-depth reports about. But it's borderline romantic in some senses.
Yeah.
And so at the end of Halo 4, I guess let's talk about the ending of Halo 4 as well. You know, she essentially sacrifices herself to save Chief from the Didact, and she's gone, right? And it kind of, Halo 4 ends on this really like mournful and Chief is grieving, right? And then that's that. And then when Halo 5 came around, everyone's like, how can you have a Chief without a Cortana?
Yeah, we did not know a Halo game without Cortana.
Right, so how is Halo 5 going to work now that we've kind of set the stage for this? And I don't know what exactly 343 was thinking when they decided to tell this story through the lens of mostly Fireteam Osiris.
Right.
Which is the Spartan Locke, and there's a bunch of other people
that
are literally
Spartans.
Forgettable.
We don't even remember their names except for Locke.
Yeah, Locke, Buck. Sorry, Buck is a good character. He's probably the best character in the whole game besides Chief. But so for me, like, again, like the most jarring thing is why would you go this route when you leave on this really interesting like ending in Halo 4? Why would narratively would you make the decision to tell the story primarily from Fireteam Osiris and not focus on Chief? And they do talk about Chief, and they do show Chief. Like, some of the missions are split between, you know, like Chief and Fireteam Osiris, but it's mostly Osiris, like 70% or something. I did the math at one point in my life. but it's such a weird decision because no one cares about these people, you know? Narratively, it just, I don't get it.
Yeah, and it made me sad how in Halo 5, Cortana becomes the antagonist when they had, I feel like throughout Halo 4, they're building to this climax in terms of like a peak of Chief and Cortana's relationship to this point where, like I said, it even gets almost towing the edges of romance. And then immediately you go from the end of Halo 4, which is this extremely emotional like experience between Chief and Cortana, to, oh, LOL, now Cortana's the antagonist and we're all supposed to hate her.
Yeah. And then
what?
I think what's, and this has always been a fault, I feel like, of the Halo series. The narrative storytelling is not always the best. And I don't know if that's because there's tons of novels and comics and stuff that take place in between each game. And maybe during those, like, they really deep dive into the canon of it all. But my understanding is that, obviously, like, there's just fragments of Cortana left by the end of Halo 4. And between Halo 4 and Halo 5, she's reconstructed with Forerunner technology. And somewhere along that line in that reconstruction process, she is who she is now. I don't think it's still Cortana. I think it's her framework. And I think she still has the memories of Cortana, but I think the way she's been reconstructed has fucked with her.
It's like a new version
of her. It's a whole new version of her. And that's narratively, shitty. Maybe in if you, you know, look at the lore, maybe that makes sense, but it's never really explained.
No.
Right? And that's why it doesn't make any sense, because Cortana is, she's a good, morally good AI.
Well, for four games of the Halo series, she was this arguably the most likable character.
Yeah.
I mean, Chief doesn't have much personality.
Right.
Cortana was who
she brought the personality
out, not only to the games, but she brought the personality out of John, out of Chief, whatever little there was to be had.
Yeah.
And their dynamic was so interesting because she's this, you know, just full of personality AI who's talking with this devoid of personality Spartan, you know, who's, by the way, like aged, you know, and aging and just battle hardened and doesn't really have much to say.
Right.
She kept things so interesting, and now it's like, boom.
And so it's so weird. Yeah. And five, suddenly she's this, you know, rampant. Well, she's cured now, but.
Cured, but she's heartless. Forever changed.
She's
no longer herself.
She essentially wants to put everybody under the AI control and be, I mean, like, oh, I don't know. Like, she wants AI to be in charge of everything.
She says she wants universal, you know, peace is what
universal
she wants.
Universal peace, but that can only be done if
everybody is under control.
Yeah,
of the AI.
And so she just destroys entire, like, planets and kills a bunch of people. And
in
it's
order
like,
to bring peace.
Yeah,
right.
It's weird. It's weird. Even Chief is like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you need to stop this. And he's there to stop her. Anyway, so narratively, I have a lot of issues with it. But, you know, what I can say with my time with Halo Infinite is I know for a fact that 343 heard everyone loud and clear. And the story is 100% Chief. So exploring that.
So we're not going back to Fireteam Osiris. We're playing as Chief.
So from what I've seen so far, like, the, again, 343's tagline is all Chief all the time. So take that for what you will, right?
So, well, I guess they heard. Well, did they hear anything about Cortana, or are you not allowed to answer that question?
I am not at any.
You're not allowed to answer that question.
I cannot confirm nor deny anything in this world about Cortana.
All right.
But yeah, so when it comes to, like, you know, the storyline of Chief all the time. So good. Like, it's been heard loud and clear. But the other thing is, like, you know, again, like, narrative, I think, is my biggest issue with this. And the AI, when you're playing by yourself, is kind of like, you know, they run into walls a lot, whatever. But
they're good for reviving you.
They are, thank God.
That's the thing they're best for. Is
they're
just
great at reviving you. I think all their AI points went into reviving.
There are some banter from AI.
Yeah.
What I mean by AI, because now we're getting our words crossed because Cortana is an AI, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about the AI of the actual controlled characters.
Yeah, your NPC partners.
Your NPC partners, yeah.
Unless someone's playing as them. But
right.
Now we're getting real confusing. But besides, like, my gripes with the narrative, I think Halo 5 is a fun game. You know, I think
it was more fun the second time around.
It was, because I think when we played Halo 5 for the first time, we just kept wondering, like, what's going to happen with Cortana? What's going to happen with Chief? Like, what's her deal? What's she trying to do here, right?
Yeah.
And then I could never get over that. But, you know, now knowing what I know the second time around, you know, you have proper expectations and you can kind of just focus more on the game itself.
Yeah.
And it's a great shooter. I mean, I think it's fun.
Go ahead. I would say that, like, my first impression of it when we played it 5-6 years ago was, wow, this is polished.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like Call of Duty level polish in terms of, like, man, these controls are crisp.
Well, it's Halo, right? They're kind of known for that, I think.
But I feel like there was a big jump even from Halo 4 up to Halo 5 in terms of crisp and just, like, modern mechanics for shooters. Mm. That was just my impression. Everything was just, yeah, crisp and clean. But with that said, it felt to me like the least Halo-y game
100%.
Of the Halos, which was weird.
It was weird. Because I feel like they nailed 343, I believe 4 was their first Halo game. And I believe they nailed that.
Oh, man, they did. Yeah. Like,
but
we're playing through 4 right now. We're probably like 3/4 of the way through. And this is probably the third time we've been through Halo 4. So
yeah.
We're refreshing up, but
yeah, Halo 5 just kind of went in this direction, and I don't, again,
it was
like
more of again like a Call of Duty direction.
I'm sure someone's done a fantastic editorial on like what their mindset was and why they did it. And I mean, everyone has their reasons, and I'm not going to like poo-poo on them, but yeah, that's a good point you bring up. And something that you've mentioned a lot before is like all the vehicles you get in Halo 4.
In all of the other Halo, in Halos 1 through 4, there's you can describe them almost as like arenas, but just big areas where like it's a playground. There's a ton of enemies. Go ham. Find there's a tank over there. There's ghosts flying around. You know, hey, if you can knock a banshee out of the sky and hijack it, go for it. Like you do you. But in Halo 5, there weren't these big battle arenas. I felt like it was more like, not on rails, but just more like hallway-y.
More linear, a little bit
linear,
more vertical.
That's what I'm looking for.
I feel like vertical, which definitely doesn't lend vertical, itself to vehicles. And
no,
I agree. Like that was also one of my complaints, I think, in my original review was, you know, in Halo 4, I think of all the moments you and I have had a banshee or a warthog or a ghost. And you just can kind of, like you said, these big open areas that are designed for combat with vehicles.
It
and it's just
these super fun moments,
right? Yeah. And it just is, those are hardly existent in Halo 5. Again, which is just, Halo 5 just doesn't really feel like a Halo game when you think about it. So that's why it's this weird thing of like, if you can separate it from Halo, I think it's a fine game, but it's hard to separate it from Halo when that's literally like, when it's part of like one of the biggest shooting franchises in the world. You kind of have to.
You know what it feels like? It almost feels like 343 was like, okay, for Halo 5, we're going to try something really new and let's do this.
Yeah.
And then the feedback I think that they got on it was generally like, okay, this game was fun, but like, what the fuck, bros?
Yeah.
Because it feels like they course corrected for Infinite, didn't they?
Yeah, 100%. Okay. So far what I can talk about with my time in Infinite is that, yes. So what's interesting about Infinite is that it's open world, right? Like you have this huge open world, open ring, I guess. Is
open ring.
Open
ring world.
And those arenas that we've been talking about, or those big open areas, you know, where you have like the big grassy field or the big desert where you have all like the warthog or the banshees or the scorpions that you can, right? So Halo's open world concept lets you have those moments a lot because it's just one big open world. So you have these FOBs, forward operating bases, and you earn something called Valor by completing various side stuff. And the more Valor you unlock, you go back to your FOB and you can like summon a warthog or a scorpion, I think it is.
They make it really easy to get vehicles.
Yeah. You could just airdrop
them
in. That's
so much fun.
Airdrop
them
in, and then you just load up with you and your Marines. Eventually, you and I can do a co-op. Oh, hell
yeah.
Then you just go. And as you're exploring, you're going to find groups of enemies. You're going to find FOBs that you need to take over and claim for yourself. You're going to find keeps. You're going to find random battles everywhere. And then that's kind of where you get those big moment-to-moment, like, vehicle combat.
So it almost sounds like they course-corrected, like, way back to what people were saying they missed about the first four.
And that's what's so...
but then even expanded on that.
Yeah, and right? I think that's what's so great about Infinite. And I mean, it's relative because we're talking about Halo 5 and da-da-da. Is I feel like this is one of those rare occasions where a game has been announced. It's been delayed. It's shown footage that people are like, oh, that's bad. I think about Craig the Brute, for example, that kind of got turned into a meme. But it was worth the wait. 343 understood. They course corrected. And Halo Infinite is everything that Halo 5 wasn't.
Mm.
And I think that is so rare that these things have a happy ending.
Yeah.
You know, but... so that's why it's interesting to be talking about Halo 5, just because like I know what comes after Halo 5.
Yeah.
Because it's just, but anyway, back to Halo 5.
Yeah.
So the narrative,
It's disappointing, I would say, depending on how familiar you are with the lore. I mean, if you come in and you're just not familiar with Halo lore, you're not going to be disappointed that Cortana is an antagonist. She's just going to be an antagonist. But if you come into it having played the other Halos and you like her as a character, you're going to probably be disappointed that she's now like evil.
So I feel like we've talked enough about the narrative Halo 5.
Gameplay, I've said it's super crisp. Controls feel the great.
Weapons are so fun. I love the Promethean weapons.
You get a boost if you hit B, so you can do some cool mechanics.
I didn't realize that we had that for a long time.
Yeah, that's right.
I was like, oh, is that what you're doing?
All the classic vehicles are back. You get their stages where you can get scorpions and you can drive ghosts. You can take over wraiths. You can get banshees. And then there's some new vehicles in there that are Forerunner tech that you can get and drive as well. And then there's even the battle mech, which is, I forget what it's called. Do you remember what it's called? The battle mech?
Oh, no.
I can't remember what it's called. But anyway,
you
do get those again in Halo 5.
The mech suit, you mean?
Yeah, but it has a name, but I forget what it's called.
Mantis.
That's right, the Mantis. So that makes its return. If you played Halo 4, then that does make its return. So that's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I felt like, you know, like while it was a very fun game and there was a lot of fun moments, it did feel very linear. There weren't big open spaces for me to go create havoc and make fun, you know, unique memories like every other Halo game I feel like used to have. There weren't ways for me to create my own way to accomplish the mission or to achieve some goal. I had to do it the way 343 wanted me to do it is what I felt like. I had to stay on their rails and I had to go do the things in the order they wanted me to do them. And I felt like I had less freedom.
Yeah, that's I agree with that.
Call of Duty does that, but Call of Duty is very, very good at that because they create this big narrative that makes you feel cinematic.
Yeah, and
but
I think that's what Call of Duty is known for. Yeah. It's not what Halo is known for, right?
No, and they didn't do the cinematic thing in Halo like you get in the Call of Duty. And this just Halo 5 to me just feels like Call of Duty, but with Halo IP, but with also a lot less narrative.
Oh, interesting.
If that makes sense?
Yeah, and I agree. And I think one of the other issues in Halo 5 too, and again, like it's hard talking about this because I think Halo 5, again, is a fine game. It's an enjoyable game. It's a well-polished game. But I think when you hold it up to the mantle of all the other Halo games, it's just like an odd one. But
yeah, it stands out as this one is not like the others.
Yeah. I think what would be really helpful in Halo 5 and all Halo games actually would just be some sort of in-game codex or in-game like encyclopedia, right? Where you can be like, okay, who are the Prometheans again? Who is a Forerunner again? Like, who is Halsey for people who don't know? Like, why does she have one arm?
Yeah.
You know, and that would be super duper helpful because there is so much lore out there when it comes to Halo, like deep, deep stuff, thanks to all the like the media, the books, the comics, etc. That someone new hopping into this is gonna be like, okay, like let's say I'm brand new and I wanna know who the hell the Forerunners are or the Prometheans. If I Google that, I'm gonna get blocks and blocks and blocks and pages and pages and pages of info when TLDR. All I probably really need to know is the TLDR, right?
Yep.
And that was one of the things too, because when we hopped into Halo 5, you and I hadn't played a Halo game since, I think we were going through the Halo series in anticipation of Infinite's release earlier this year.
And I think we did make it through Combat Evolved.
We got through Combat, but
for like
I mean,
the sixth time.
We've only played Halo 5 one time. I think I've only played Halo 4 maybe twice.
Yeah.
And it's been years.
Right.
And so I didn't remember what was happening when Halo 5 booted up. All I remember is that Chief and Cortana were recently like separated because of, you know, what went down in Halo 4. But
that's a good point. Like without going to Wikipedia or whatever and reading what's going on, the game doesn't really fill you in.
Not really. I mean, it does do its best to kind of like, Chief, Cortana's gone.
Yeah.
She couldn't possibly be transmitting you a message, you know, but it's like, yeah, there's so much more there. You know, I also do want to say that I think the game still looks beautiful. I think the animations are great. Yeah. I think the voice actors are fantastic. So the delivery is good.
Yeah.
The gameplay and the gunplay is really good, too.
It's
the
fun.
Level design is fine for what it is. And it's just, again, when you compare it, when you slap a Halo title on anything, you just hold it up to a much, much higher standard. And that's why it's this hard thing of, like, it's a great game, just not a great Halo game.
I agree with that. I would definitely recommend anybody play it, but I would say if you're a big Halo fan, temper your expectations, though.
Temper your expectations, and if you're going into Infinite, but you, and as someone hit me up on Twitter and was like, yo, like, I love Halo, but I skipped 5 because it just didn't look like it was for me. I'm excited for Infinite. And my thought was like, oh boy, you are going to be what the fucking by the time you start Infinite backup. I said, so if you're in the same boat as this person, 100%, at least watch a YouTube recap. Like, get caught up on what happened in Halo 5 because you are going to be wondering, like,
a lot of story happened in Halo 5. The shit went down in Halo 5.
Yeah. And again, it's just this weird thing if you're kind of wondering, like, I don't need to keep talking about the narrative. I don't need to keep talking about it because that's just the biggest gripe. What's good, though, is I can kind of see into the future and I see what's happened with Halo Infinite, and it has been course corrected and it does feel so Halo-y. And I said this on the What's Good podcast, was I feel like Halo Infinite does for Halo what Breath of the Wild did for Zelda.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I know.
Now you got me all hot and bothered because you and I, we have some disagreements on Breath of the Wild. I'm quite a bit higher on it than you are.
No. Again, same thing. I think Breath of the Wild, again, is a wonderful game. Masterpieceful.
Really?
Yeah.
Actually surprises me that you think that you would give it the masterpiece title.
It's not, in my opinion, a great Zelda game.
Okay.
I think it stands on its own. This is the whole thing. It's just that thing. It's like Resident Evil in me. Like, I have my, again, this is all personal preference, right? Mm-hmm. To an extent, I have my thoughts on what I think makes a great Resident Evil game, which makes a great Zelda game, which makes a great Halo game. But you have to be able to set that aside and look at a game objectively and be like, it's not broken. It just wasn't for me. So anywho, yeah.
So what would you say to somebody who's like, all right, I've listened to this whole episode, but I actually haven't played a Halo game, so I don't really care about the narrative. What would you tell them about Halo 5?
Oh my God.
I don't know how many of those people there are, but hey, if you're like, actually, that is me, I am listening to this podcast and I've never played a Halo game, what would
you
say?
Should I start with 5? Is that...
Right, like, where do you start?
You know, someone actually did ask me that question on Twitter.
Okay.
And this is what I said. I said, listen, if you are not in a rush to get to Infinite, all these games are going to be free on Game Pass. Free.
Because of the Master Chief Collection.
Well, because it's an Xbox published game, and all Xbox Microsoft Studios published games are day and date with Game Pass.
Yeah.
So yeah, like they're not going anywhere. Yes, and you're right. They're all on the Master Chief Collection, so they're not going to be taken off anytime soon.
Right.
If you're not in a rush, I would say just start with Halo Combat Evolved, like on the Master Chief Collection. Go work through Halo 2, 3, 4, 5. You know, these games aren't long, like maybe 7-8 hours-ish.
A piece, yeah. As a matter of fact, when you and I first played Halo 5, we one-nighted it.
We did one-night it. That was a very long night.
It was,
but we did. I had to for a review, though, but I had to do it. You know, because I think the narrative just really builds on itself over the course of those games.
It does, and it's interesting.
And so I think the payoff is that much sweeter, and it's much more impactful as you progress through the series. But if you're like, I really just want to hop into Infinite, I want to get it.
Should you play Halo 5 first before Infinite?
Oh.
What about people who are eyeing Infinite as like, hey, this could be my hopping in point for Halo?
Here's the thing, friends. Should like Halo pay? Infinite is out next week. December 8th, I think, is it. If you have time to play Halo 5 beforehand, cool. But if you don't, you can just hop into Infinite. You're just going to be slightly confused. But also the reality is, if you've never played Halo before and you hop right into Halo 5, you're going to be even more confused. So
yeah, well,
I would say it's a choice no matter what. Like, I think these games are inherently supposed to be designed that you pick up and play, and you can. But again, like, I think the problem is, narratively, these games are sequels to one another.
Yeah, they follow a chronological timeline.
Yeah, so... Jesus, that's just, it's hard to even like set myself aside and be like, okay, you just know so much about Halo. So
I mean, here's what I'd say. This is the co-op show podcast. So probably people listening to this podcast.
We haven't even talked about the co-op aspect of it.
Oh, I know. You're right. Oh my goodness. Probably people listening to this show, I would guess, are looking for ideas for co-op games to play. Uh-huh. So with that, I would say that all of the Halo games, like literally all of them,
every single one of them,
every single one
co-op.
Of them should be played co-op.
They're so
and
fun.
You and I have played every one of them co-op, and for some of them, we've played them 3, 4, 5 times.
Yeah,
like I think you and I have played Halo 1 at least 4 or 5 times.
Yeah,
because it's that fun, and we keep playing it, and it feels good. And we've gone through and played 2, 3, 4. We've played Reach. We've played ODST, and like we always have a phenomenally fun time. The replayability is huge. So if you're like, well, I listen to this podcast and I've never played a Halo game before, then consider this my full-blown, wholehearted recommendation to play all of them.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll do a unique show on each of them. Who knows?
No, I'd love to do that.
But whether
that's something we actually wanted to do.
Yeah.
That was our plan, was to start with Halo Combat Evolved, do a show and on that,
one,
and then 2, 3, 4, 5. But then our child was like,
well, now we're just trying to get a show out because we actually played a game. So we're like, we deserve, the people deserve
but
a
yeah,
show.
I mean, you do bring up a good point. We should talk about the co-op part of it 30 minutes in. Just real quick, yeah, like it's...
oh yeah, co-op.
So Halo 5, like I said, only supports online co-op. Generally, these games support split screen, but this one does not. So just, you know, be prepared for that. But as long as you have two TVs and two Xboxes or whatever the fuck you want to play on that supports this game, you're good to go. But yeah, I mean, it's just a shared, I don't know how to explain it. It's basically as co-op-y as it gets. You know, like what, like I'll play at the beginning of each mission, if you're playing as either Blue Team, which is Chief and Co, or Fire Team Osiris, who is Locke and Co, you get to choose which character you play as.
I don't think it really makes a difference.
No, like someone has to always be Locke, I think, and someone always has to be Chief.
Right.
I always was Locke and Chief, and then you
I usually played
Now, does it impact your loadout?
I think it does, but you can...
But you just swap those out immediately anyway.
There might be some small perks, but I didn't even notice them.
So I guess that goes to tell you how much of a role they really play.
Yeah.
I guess that's, you know, a good way to end this one is be like, yo, you've never played a Halo game before.
It works great. I mean, there's not much to say, honestly, about the co-op component of it.
But when it comes to Halo 5 specifically, again, like, just to reiterate, I think it's a great game. It's just not one of my favorite Halo games, probably my least favorite Halo game.
But still really, really fun.
But it's still really fun.
We're still recommending the hell out of it. We had a great time playing it. All we're saying is that, like, if all the other Halo games were like a 10 out of 10 on the experience funness scale, this would be something lower than that. That's all, but still awesome.
Yeah.
That's all. Like, great game, just not a great Halo game.
Yes. It's, 100%
but
that.
But still play it.
Still
go play it.
Go
still
play
really
it.
Fun.
But maybe play another Halo game if you've never played a Halo game before. yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, thank you so much for listening, and thank you for, I don't know, like, coming back to us after all this time. Our hope.
People were probably like, what the hell's this icon
What's
on
the
my
poop show?
App? Oh yeah, that podcast?
Yeah.
The one I listened to that one time last summer?
Yeah, right. I know. Gosh. Our hope is that, you know, we can get these out as quickly as we can, or as often as we can, I mean. But, you know, that's just going to have to depend on life. But until we can get in a steady schedule routine, I think we're just going to keep doing our best.
Yep. And you're always there on Twitter if anybody wants
to. It's not like I'm just like lurking in the shadows, and I only come to be when the co-op show comes out. You can find me on Twitter at Blonde Nerd. You can go to thecoopshow.com, or if you want to send us an email, contact at coopshow.com. Jason still is not really active on Twitter. He was good there for a minute, and then he kind of.
I went back down to my hidey hole. There was too much crap flying around on Twitter. So,
and if you are listening to this, we didn't reveal this on the What's Good podcast, but next week, Jason will be the guest on What's Good Games.
Whoa, takeover.
That's a takeover. That's
podcast
a little,
takeover.
That's a little special little piece of information for the listeners of the show, because you're special and sometimes you deserve to get some info ahead of time.
Literally,
not that it's like a huge deal, but
literally
it's,
nobody else knows this.
No, so what's going on, yeah, is that Andrea's attending the Game Awards, and although I was invited due to various reasons, I can't attend in Los Angeles. So, you know, Jason and I are going to watch the Game Awards. We're going to record a show about it. I get to talk about Halo Infinite, hopefully, and it'll be a good time.
And we're going to take it over.
Oh, God.
What?
This was a mistake.
I'm getting my aggressive game face on.
Please don't talk like that. No, don't. I will kick you off of this show so quickly. I will mute your entire track.
You can't solo the show.
Oh, absolutely.
It'll be like Steimer's soliloquy, but it'll be Brit's briloquy.
Not a bad idea. If you get too annoying, that's the route I'm going to go. Well, thank you all so, so, so much for listening. And hopefully we'll talk to you soon, or see you soon, or whatever the hell. Here I go with my awkward outro. Goodbye.
Later.